William Morrow and Harper Audio present At First Spite, a Harlot's Bay novel by Olivia Dade. Performed by Joy Nash. For my caring, whip-smart therapists, past and present, Wendy, Kathy, and Katie, I'm endlessly grateful to you and for you. And for my husband, who climbed into the shower with me, grabbed the soap, and helped take care of me when I couldn't take care of myself.
Jag älskar dig så mycket, min piffiga man.
Author's note. If you're a reader who appreciates learning about sensitive content ahead of time, this note is for you. Otherwise, please skip ahead to the prologue. Still here? All right, this is what you should know. At First Spite addresses grief and clinical depression. It also mentions the accidental death of a young child, although that death does not occur on the page. If you're sensitive to any of those topics, please read with care, and please know that I've done my best to balance the painful bits of the book with lots of laughter and love. For more detailed content guidance concerning this book and all my books, please visit my website, oliviadade.com/books/content-guidance. Hugs and hearts, Olivia. Prologue. After exchanging generic, polite greetings with an older couple and accepting their congratulations on her engagement, Athena retreated to a dimly lit corner of the museum, pushed her glasses to the top of her head, and produced her phone from her dress's deep pocket. Finally. Ever since she'd driven over the tall, windswept, godforsaken bridge that led to this island, the question had been niggling at her. Abbott Island Bridge, Maryland, she discreetly typed into Professor Google's search box. Safety issues. A few link clicks later, she had her answer. Very few vehicles had hurtled over the narrow crossing's low barriers and sunk into the dark river far, far below, which surprised her, since that wide riverbed should be bristling with rusted-out trucks and submerged SUVs, like a reef. Only with fewer rainbow-hued fish and more bumper stickers proclaiming proud parentage of school children. Reluctantly, she slid her phone back in her pocket and perched her glasses back on the bridge of her nose. In general, she didn't try to hide her search engine inquiries. Curiosity isn't a polite hunger, content to be fed at convenient, socially acceptable intervals. But even she knew better than to conduct research during her own damn engagement party. If the guests at this gathering noticed her in the corner, discreetly tapping at the screen of her cell, they might interpret the sight as boredom rather than what it was, an insatiable need for information. To be fair, also a certain amount of boredom. But to be fair to her, her boredom stemmed from entirely justifiable causes. Everyone in attendance seemed to know each other already, and after introducing themselves to her, they'd immediately clustered in insular little groups. Her pediatrician fiancé, Dr. Johnny Vine, had vanished into one of those groups half an hour ago, swallowed headfirst by crowds of friends and well-wishers. No surprise there. Johnny could charm a tree out of its growth rings, and he'd been born and bred in this area. Harlot's Bay, the water-steeped southeastern Maryland town that had raised her fiancé, lay just over that too-narrow bridge. It was the nearest community to Abbott Island, whose small but elegant art museum was hosting their happy event. Her own friends were celebrating the holidays in Virginia with their families. Her parents were at a cardiology conference. She was an only child, and her remaining relatives lived too far away to attend, so there would be no familial backup that evening either. Not for her, anyway. Eventually, Johnny's older brother, Matthew, who co-owned the pediatrics practice where both men worked, would arrive from an after-hours appointment.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?